Most of you know, I pray about the message I'm going to deliver every week. And the Holy Spirit usually shows it, puts it on my heart this week, and didn't know what direction I need to go in. Lisa and I went down to the district assembly down in Columbia Sunday, and Sunday evening there was all kinds of singing, and there were speakers and pastors from the Nazarene district, like from all over the state. It was some good singing, but I didn't leave there with my message. It was not put on me. There are those of you that, a lot of you know, I work as a nurse at the Greenville Health System, and I've gotten more than one message from there. My work's kind of hectic. Well, I shouldn't say hectic, but a cat roundup would be more soothing than most of my weeks at work. And I thought, well, maybe it's coming from work, because it was a very hectic week this week, and no, not there. I found my message in two spots this week. The first one came off exit 63 in I-85. We had gotten a message of all the pastors in the district about a church closing. And Lisa and I went to Duncan Life Spring Church to pick up some things the church had offered to donate to other churches in the district. And there was just sadness there. And this little church here has had its shares up and downs. And it's just by the grace of God, the Genesis Church is still here today. And we spoke with a couple of ladies that were members there, and there was just some uncertainty in what's next. They had known the people at this church. It had become a family, and as you know, from coming here, you develop relationships with people. And I couldn't imagine Lisa and I getting together with another group to have the experiences that we've had with this group. Good times and bad times and sicknesses and births and deaths and damage to the house, wrecks and everything else that we've all shared with each other. And I couldn't imagine having to start over at that point. And because the church isn't made of wood and brick. And you hear me say it every week. It's made up of people with different gifts, filling their own role, but serving a common purpose. To maintain and spread the message of Jesus Christ to the sick and injured in this world. And they're not far off. They're right down the road. You may live with some. And also to lift each other up during our journeys as believers. I left there thinking, knowing that something was laid on my heart, but not yet knowing really what it was. It became clear Friday. A friend of ours came up Friday evening. We're helping him fill out applications for jobs. And after 30 plus years at a job, he was let go in a political correctness crusade. That's all it was. Just a victim of changing times, not his job performance. How many of us could have the same thing happen to us today? I could. I could walk into a patient's room, and I could say something very innocent, and by the time it's all said and done, I am some kind of just evil, fire-breathing something or another for saying something that shouldn't have amounted to a hill of beans. And as we spoke, we were talking about finding health insurance. Do I need to pull out my retirement? This is a person that worked 30-something years, holidays, weekends, extra time, trained probably every person in that department. And there was uncertainty. He's a very calm person. But you can feel the uncertainty. And I think many of us have gotten to a point in our lives of asking, what do we do? I've been there before. What do I do? We all have plans for our lives. We want to accomplish certain things at certain times in our life. Some of us are able to see our plans and make it reality. Some of us are still working. They're still waiting to see the plans and the dreams develop. Sometimes what we want is right there. It's reality for us. and then in a moment, it's gone. And I started reading after Friday. I started reading and researching and looking to see where I was sent to. And I came to a section of scripture in Jeremiah. And the Israelites had their shares of up and downs too. And I think this section came to them at one of their lowest points in history. And they were truly asking, what do we do? And God responded by speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And looking at Jeremiah 29:4-14. And thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And give you a background. This happened roughly about 600 BC. Babylonian Empire destroyed Jerusalem, conquered Israel. Pride of Israel, the Temple of Solomon, had timbers that were taken from the cedars of Lebanon. Gold and silver that was made into the finest decorations by craftsmen all over the known world. It contained in the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, the Ark of the Covenant that Moses and the Israelites had made crossing the desert. It was about 800 years old at that point in time. Gone. Ashes. Rubble. Gone. Solomon had built that temple 300 years before that. Nothing left. Not a thing. Israel had been an independent nation for 650 to 700 years. That's 2.5 times as long as the United States at this point. How did it happen? Why did it happen? The majority of Israel had fallen away from God, and he sent prophet after prophet after prophet to turn them. Occasionally, a good leader would come, and they'd turn for a little while. Then they'd go back to the foreign idols, to openly defiling God and turning away from his law, his covenant. And sin is the root cause for almost all suffering in the world. And it's kind of like splattering paint. If anybody's ever had to paint a room and you only wanted to paint part of it, or you didn't cover the carpet quite like you should, you realize paint splatters a lot. It splatters on the stuff that wasn't meant to be painted. Sin's like that. So many times, it's not the sinful that just suffer. People suffer when they've done nothing wrong. And it's that sin that spreads out. And you've done nothing wrong. Even in the Israelites, Jeremiah, many of his contemporaries, Daniel, his friends, they were affected by all this, but they were godly people. They never did anything wrong, but they were still affected. And that's how sin works. It's like a stain. It just gets all over everything. Kind of like when you go down to the beach and you get sand in a hotel room. Can you ever truly get it out? It's the same. Kind of like that. And that's a weird comparison, but it is. It's similar to that. All of these people, godly and ungodly, were rounded up and they were carried into this strange place. Strangers in a strange land. Now, how do you start all over? And God wasn't silent on that. He told them, basically, get to living. Build your houses. Eat the food they have. Take the sons and daughters. Don't die out. Babylon is in modern-day Iraq, about 60 miles from Baghdad. Giving an idea of the size of the city, there was a Greek historian. His name was Herodotus. And he wrote about a lot of the ancient world. And during the time of the exile of the Israelites, the city walls of Babylon were 56 miles long, 80 feet high, and over 320 feet thick. That's how big this city was. In comparison, Jerusalem was 22 acres, the old city that's been excavated. The Israelites went from the olive groves, shepherds, the small cities, to this. 220 acres. That's what they were carried into. Much like the Israelites, most of us have had times in our lives where we've been yanked from our everyday lives. Maybe it was losing a job. Maybe it's losing our house. Maybe it was a sickness that just jerked us out from where we were at. And the life that we knew, gone. Totally gone. Irrevocably changed. And it can be hard to get back to just making it. It can be very hard. And hearing from God, you're supposed to settle in and get on with life. It couldn't have went well. Don't you know how much I'm hurting? How bad all this is? Every storm, whether it's on the Weather Channel, in the lives of people that lived thousands of years ago, or people that live right now, has three distinct parts. There's a beginning, usually caused by some type of disruption in the normal climate. There's a middle, where the full force of these disruptions were felt by everyone in the area. And there's an ending, where the effects of that disruption have been played out. And the actions of the Israelites against God, that caused the sin that caused the disruption that started the storm. And unfortunately, that disruptive sin affected the innocent as well as the guilty. Like a thunderstorm or a tornado affects everyone in the area. God was speaking to them about what to do in the middle of the storm in those verses. And we still follow similar wisdom. We stay put. Most of us stay put. And with the knowledge that storms eventually end. And the Lord also talked about false prophets through Jeremiah. God's been blamed for a whole bunch of stuff he never said. A whole bunch of stuff he's never said. How many times have you been talking with someone and religion comes up and somebody's telling you something? Well, it's in the Bible somewhere. I have. They can't produce it, but they can tell you God sure did say it. No, he probably didn't. But he's been to blame for a lot of things. And here, he's telling them, it's not from me. There have been prophets, and there still are pastors, who have said they've been led by God to say or do things. And I'm going to tell you, from this end of it, it can be really, really tempting to put your own spin on stuff. But you got to be really, really careful. Where does the Spirit stop and Mark start? Or whoever it is, and you have to be very careful, and you really have to pray about it, because it can be really, really tempting to put your spin on things. And there have been people through centuries, through millennia, that have twisted God's word from Genesis to Isaiah to Revelations for their own feelings and their own purposes, but not God's. It's natural for people to keep God in the trunk. Like the Israelites have. Like we do sometimes. I've done it. Then where if your battery won't start or you got a flat tire, me and Darlene were just talking about picking up nails in the tires, and then you pull him out. You pray him up and woo, it's all good. I put him back in the trunk. No. It's not meant to be like that. The Israelites had people that came up during this time, and they thought that God would give a quick fix. It wasn't meant to be. And how many times in truly, truly life-changing circumstances has there been a quick fix? Not very many in my time. And God tells them, you're going to have to be here 70 years. I have not forgotten about you. I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. And I found a comparison by a pastor named Anthony Hodge while I was researching these verses. A good cook has the finished product in mind when he or she begins preparing the meal. An artist in putting together a drawing or a picture or other craft, at least from a conceptual standpoint, has a good idea about how a piece of artwork will look when it's finished. And an architect, in preparing a set of drawings for a new project, is capable of knowing how the end product will work. And if we're able to think like that as humans, God has that same concept, probably far more effectively than we do. God didn't forget these people. They're in a raging storm that was caused by sin, affecting innocent and guilty alike. He was telling them the storm won't end soon, but he has not forgotten them. One of the most powerful things God can put in your heart is remind you that you have not been forgotten. I've had that put in my heart at a time in my life when I thought God had forgotten me. I didn't think he loved me. I had lost my daughter. My marriage was falling apart. And I thought he did not love me and he had forgotten about me. And one night at Self Memorial Hospital in Greenwood, when I was working, he reminded me that he loved me and he had not forgotten. And that was years after Emily passed away. But he reminded me. It's not a fast fix, but he has not forgotten us. What we're doing right now is what we're having to do to prepare for what God's plan for you, if you're willing to seek his will for you. This is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, I think. A lot of people don't read the other verses to truly understand, though, what's being said. God never says our lives will be on the easy street. He does say, though, he's got plans for each of us. For each of us. Even as the rain and the lightning of the storms come down, even as we close the doors on a career, a marriage, a church home, whatever it may be, and we have put our blood and our sweat and our tears into these things. Any kind of relationship, there's effort put into it. Whether it's a job relationship, working in a church, a marriage, any type of relationship, there's effort to keep it going. They are living things. And when you see it gone, it's hurtful. You grieve. With relationships like that, we grieve in one way or another. And the Israelites had this land 600, 700 years. And it was gone. And they grieved. Sin causes that storm. It may not be ours, but it could be someone else's, and we're caught up in it. But God gets us through it. God gets through any storm. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God places an importance on prayer. You know, there are over 650 prayers listed in the Bible. Over 450 answers recorded in the Bible. Jesus prayed 25 different times in the Gospels. Paul mentioned the word prayer in some form or fashion over 41 times throughout his letters. Today's world, there are many people who attend church regularly, even pastors, don't pray regularly. Prayer is our way to talk to God and a way to get him to answer. And he's encouraging the Israelites to pray diligently. He's encouraging them to pray honestly and persistently with him. And if you feel like there's something missing in your life, still follow the words of Jeremiah. Pray to God honestly about your situation. Be specific. Lay it all out there for God. God wants to accomplish things through us all. We need to be reminded that things may not necessarily happen right when we pray to him. And they may not happen in the way we're expecting. There have been times in my life that things have not worked out like I wanted them to. But later, I had to give thanks for unanswered prayers because they ended up in a way better than I ever could imagine. And God's plans in our lives will always be better than the plans we have. Then he talks about seeking me and finding me. when you search for me with all your heart. And that can be hard. How many of us have held back when we prayed? I have. I wanted to invite God into the living room, but I didn't want him to see the bedroom where all my clothes were piled up at, and my socks and my shoes and all that. How many of us have asked God into the living room? Because we don't want him to see the half-done projects. I really want to pray every day. I really want to read scripture every day, but I'm not doing it. That ain't finished, and I really don't want you looking at that. It can be uncomfortable. Like when you have visitors, it can be, and you're not expecting them, it can be uncomfortable to let them in your house when you're not prepared for them. You don't want them to see the bathroom that hadn't been cleaned. The refrigerator might have stuff left in from 2016. You don't want them to see all that. But he's God. He knows it. He knows what's in our hearts. We just have to tell him, Lord, I know you see this, but I'm a mess. I got a problem with this. I got a problem with that. Lord, I am in a mess. My marriage is in trouble, or I have lost my job. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Lead me. Look inside me and help me. I cannot help myself. I cannot help myself. I've had to say that more in the last 11, 12 years than I've ever said that in my life. I don't see a slowdown in my future either. That the more I come to know, the more I know that I've been led. And when I do things, I have been guided and worked through. It's not me. And the Lord says, I'll be fine by you, and I will restore you, and I will gather you from all these places, and I will bring you home. The Israelites were scattered literally to the corners of the earth. If you look today, there are Jews in Russia. There's still a thread in Iraq. They're in sub-Saharan Africa. There's even one theory that there is a Jewish threat among the Cherokee Indians. They are, God scattered them. And he kept his promise to them, though. 70 years later, Ezra and Nehemiah led a group back to Israel. They found it in ruins. Their little temple was nothing like Solomon's. And that storm ended, though. They were brought back home. And again, God doesn't say it's easy. But God led them home and God helped them. He worked through them. They sought him out. Ezra and Nehemiah were godly people and they sought him out. Nehemiah was actually able to influence through God the king of Persia, head of the Persian Empire, to be released. Today, God's still with us. Just like he was with those Israelites in a foreign, godless country, he helped them survive and thrive. He kept his promise. 1948, Israel became an independent nation again. And what I think is something very momentous in a lot of ways, there are plans to rebuild that temple in Israel, which is mentioned in prophecy. God brought them home. And God will work for us, and he will bring us to where we need to be at. Whatever's in your life, God will bring you if you go to him, all of you. Every bit of yourself. And admit, I need your help. I'm lost. I've come to a point in my life that I don't know what to do. I am what I thought I was going to have for my life, I don't have right now. Work through me. And it may not be a simple fix. Most things in life aren't. but he will not abandon you. He will get you through that storm. Storms end. Storms in your life will end. Our job is to seek God's face and be led by the Holy Spirit. Each of us has it in us. It's expressed in different ways. For me, it's expressed in me coming up here and spewing out hot air and going where I'm led to. I've been led in airports. I've been led in hospital rooms. I have been led to complete strangers. Different people, they are led with their hands. They are led to use what God's given them, those spiritual gifts. The whole thing is one giant cycle for God's work. And when God has you doing little stuff, he's working on something bigger for you. And you may be in the situation that this is nothing what I had. It's not where you're going to stay at. Just remember, you're in the storm, but it will not last. All storms end. And as we go to prayer, I have a couple of quotes. True prayer is a way of life, not just for use in emergency. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you'll be in practice. Reverend Billy Graham. Another one from Reverend Graham. Have you ever said, well, all we can do now is pray? When we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. When you have reached that point in your life that you never thought you'd be at, pray. Pray every day, but especially then. Especially then. In our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. And as we go to prayer, if you're in a storm, be honest with God. Let him know, I may not have prayed in years. I may pray every day. Either way, I'm in a mess. I am in a mess. If your life's had a major change, go to God in prayer. He understands. He knows it. He knows it. You're not laying anything on him he does not know. Come to him. Seek him. He's there. Jesus said in Revelations, I'm at the door knocking. I'm waiting on you to answer. God was 2,600 years ago. God still. God was, is, and will be God. He's still waiting on us. He loves us, and he wants to be part of our lives. If I can get everybody to stand, please. We're going to go to the Lord in song, in prayer, and in song. And the altars are open. If you feel the urge to come up here and pray, come up here and pray. If you feel the urge to pray from your chair, pray from your chair. Wherever it strikes you, pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, all of us at one time or another have been in the position of these Israelites. We have had the rug jerked out from up under us in some way, shape, or form. Father, you don't offer quick fixes, but you offer your plans for us. We have to seek those. We have to seek your will for us. We have to open ourselves up to you. Open up every closet in our spiritual house. Open up every dirty room. But that's what you're wanting. So you can change us. Work through us. And Father, we ask that anyone that's here, or if we know anyone that is in need of this, Father, to just work in their hearts. Open them up to you, Father, so that you can work in them. Father, so many times we don't want to let go. And we don't want to let go of control. And Father, between us driving it or you driving it, we know how we're going to get there faster. And we know how we're going to get there better by letting you drive. Father, all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open.